Wow, welcome to church. How are you guys doing? It's a great Sunday. I don't know if you were here last week. If you weren't here last week, my pastor, Pastor Jacob Aranza, spoke, was an amazing word, wasn't it? And just really shared how to make it through the storms of life, and then shared at the end. Actually, he had never shared that story of his son that was killed in a motorcycle accident 2.5 years ago. It was unbelievably powerful. And man, God just showed up. We had 46 people raise their hands to give their life to Christ just last Sunday. Isn't that awesome? You know, we exist to reach people and to build lives. And my heart today is that I can help through the power of God's word, I can help you build your life on his word because it's a firm foundation. And so today, our series is really COTK, summer at COTK, which really means I get to preach whatever I want, which I guess technically I do, but I love series because it helps us build. And it's really interesting to me that the last several messages have been either prophets or men or women of God in the Bible. And I'm finding how consistently God's message of redemption, the themes that we see are all throughout the Bible. And so today, I want us to look at the book of Nehemiah, and not the whole book. We're just going to look at half of the book of Nehemiah today. So if you've not read Nehemiah, you're going to get a crash course in who Nehemiah was and what he did. And we're going to start and just pray that God just really speaks to us today. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts to hear your word. Lord, that we can open our ears to you. That, Father, that what we hear, it changes our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this message, Preparing a Place, because I firmly believe that God has a place for all of us. Geography and everything in the physical is really just a mirror of the spiritual. And many of you know this story. If you've been here any length of time, you know that when God called my wife and I to come to Lake Charles, it was the one place out of the entire world that I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere, just don't ever send me to Lake Charles. Very true story. And he sent me here. And I found that the place that God has for us is always a place, three things: protection, provision, and his promise. And that's really what this message is all about today. It's you knowing the place that God has for you and you preparing that place so that God can bring you to the place where there's his protection, his provision, and his promise fulfilled in your life. And as we look at the book of Nehemiah, it's really an interesting book. It comes right after the book of Ezra. And at this point in history, the nation of Israel had been destroyed, really decimated by the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonians had come in and destroyed Israel. And God's promise of protection and provision, it had always been conditional to the nation. It was, if you will follow me and obey me and honor me, I'll take care of you no matter what. But if you want to do your own thing and step outside of the place that I have for you, you're going to find yourself not in that place, if that makes sense. And that's what they did. They turned from God. They turned to their own ways. Actually, they embraced all of the false gods all around them. The Babylonian Empire expanded. It destroyed the entire nation. In fact, when Nebuchadnezzar came in, he destroyed the temple, destroyed the city gates of Jerusalem, which was considered to be one of the most beautiful cities in the world. It was the city on the hill, and they leveled it, burned everything, and they took most of the population of Israel back to Babylon as slaves. But God didn't forget about his promise, and he didn't forget about his people. And I want you to know that today. God never forgets about his promise, and he never forgets about his people. And I feel like this is much more of a building message than a reaching message. But can I tell you, we need to have both. And I want you to build your life on this truth that God knows you, he loves you, he never forgets, he always has a place, he knows who you are, he remembers his people, and he remembers the place that he has for them. And maybe that's for you today, and maybe this message is for you today. So Ezra, under the favor of God and the moving of God, he's able to take a group of people that had been slaves in Babylon, captives really in Babylon. He takes them back to Israel, to Jerusalem, and they see that the city is still burned, that the gates are still fallen down, and the temple is destroyed, but they rebuild the temple. And the temple represents the heart of God, that they're rebuilding the heart of God for the place that he has for them. And then in another wave later, Nehemiah comes, and he comes from Babylon. God puts it on his heart to go and rebuild the city walls around Jerusalem that had been destroyed. And these were really massively huge, big, massive walls. And he gets favor from the king of the Babylonian Empire. He takes a group of Israel, the Israelites. They go back to Jerusalem. The temple has been rebuilt, but the walls are fallen down. And Nehemiah musters up all of the people of the surrounding area, along with the people that came with Nehemiah, and they rebuild these massively huge city walls in 52 days. It's a miraculous feat. The first half of the book of Nehemiah, the first six chapters, are all about the building of the wall. But we're going to look at the second half of the book of Nehemiah. And in chapter 7, we see what takes place after the walls have been built. And I think it's really a picture for you and for me on how we can turn our lives into a sacred space where God's presence resides, where we see his protection, his provision, and the fulfillment of his promises. So we're going to look at this. Are y'all following me so far? I feel like it's kind of a history lesson, but let me just tell you, you've heard the adage, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Let me tell you, that is very true. And so I want to see you study the Bible, because I know what happens when you study the Bible. You get some understanding, you get revelation, and then you get understanding, and when you put it to action, you see the fulfillment of God's promises, and I want that for you. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. It says this, it says, after the wall was finished, it's really huge, because it was a miraculous thing that Nehemiah was able to take a bunch of people who had no idea how to build anything and in 52 days built some amazingly huge walls that would be a place, a sacred space for the nation of Israel to walk into the place that God had promised them under his protection and provision. Everybody say, after the wall was finished. Maybe you're here today and you've done that. Like, your heart has been surrendered to God. Like, you recognize, I know me, I know my sinful heart, I know my sinful self. Lord, I believe that Jesus died on the cross as God in the flesh to take the punishment and the penalty for my sin, and I give you my life. You get a new heart, you get a new life. There's a spiritual rebirth. The Bible in the New Testament calls that being born again. There's that moment where kind of like the temple in the book of Ezra that's being built, that God's Spirit comes to reside inside of us. And then you begin to mark out a place. Okay, this is what my life looks like surrendered to God. It's a sacred space. It's after the wall was finished. This is a picture of us. It's a picture of both a nation and a people and the individual. You following me? After the wall was finished and I had set up the doors and the gates, the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites were appointed. Just leave it here for a moment. All of these people were appointed. So he finished the wall, but then he had to set up the doors and the gates, the gatekeepers, the singers, all of these. So he's setting things in order. Look at verse 2. It says, after it was finished, and then it says, I gave the responsibility of governing. Everybody say governing. Governing. I gave the responsibility of, come on. Governing. Let me just tell you, this is related to us and what's governing us. I gave the responsibility of governing Jerusalem to my brother Hananiah, along with Hananiah, the commander of the fortress, for he was a faithful man who feared God more than most. Look at verse 3. I said to them, don't leave the gates open during the hardest part of the day, and even while the gatekeepers are on duty, have them shut and bar the doors. Appoint the residents of Jerusalem to act as guards, everyone on a regular watch. Some will serve as sentry posts, and some in front of their own homes. Now, here's what I want you to see, is that, can we go back to verse 2 very quickly? Just at verse 2, that responsibility of governing. Now, let's go to verse 3. Where it says, don't leave the gates open. Look at this right here. Shut and bar the doors. Everybody say, shut and bar the doors. You ready? Shut and bar the doors. All of this speaks to something to us today personally. And if we're going to prepare a place for God to move so that we can see the fulfillment of his promises, so that we can see that we're living in the place of his protection and his provision, that we're walking out the promises that he's made to us, it's going to begin with this. And it's the first point of 5 today. You have them in your notes. You can get them on the app. But here's the first point. You ready? You're going to have to establish order. Establish order. Order. Go back to verse 2, chapter 7, verse 2. The responsibility of governing. Let me just tell you that what governs your life, what you allow to govern your life, who you allow in and out. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. You ready? Out of the gates of your heart and your mind and your soul is going to determine the quality of your life. I mean, I love this thing. It says, okay, all right, guys, listen to me. The walls have been built. But we got to get some things in order. Okay, like you, and you. Like, you're going to be doing this. You're the gatekeepers. You're doing this. Hey, why are the gates open all the time? Like, we need to close those because there's some things that we don't need to allow in. And then we need to open them at other times because there's some things that need to come out. And can I just, here's the principle for you and for me, that when we truly surrender our heart and life to the Lord and we have this spiritual moment, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. So many people are like, man, I gave my heart to the Lord, the end. No. Like, you giving your heart to the Lord and then you being baptized, that's not the end. That's the beginning, because your life is measured by what areas of sacredness are inside of you. Where are the walls of your life built? Let me just tell you, they should be all of you. But you're going to have to make sure that everything inside is governed correctly. You're going to have to make sure that there's some gates, because there's some stuff you definitely want to keep out. Do y'all know there's some things that we might want to keep out of our life? Everybody who's ever struggled with addiction recognizes there are some places that I can't go. There are some people that I cannot be around. There are some things that I have to shut the doors of my heart and my life to, because they don't need in. Because when they get in, it's death. In the same way, so many Christians, they're real good at shutting things off. Many of them are, or hiding that. It's shut off. It looks shut off. Some people, it's not. But they shut them off, but there's some things that we need to open. Like, am I opening my heart to the people around me so that I can be God's hand, his voice, so that I've experienced God's promises. I'm walking in his protection and his provision. So now I open the door of my heart so that people can experience that, because I'm reaching out to them. Y'all following me here? Let me just tell you, if we're going to prepare a place for God to move in our life, it begins with us establishing order. It's amazing how, as we look at Nehemiah chapter 7, the temple's been built, the walls have been built, and the next item on the docket, the next item of business really is, we got to get our stuff together. Like, you need to do this, we got to do this, you need to build the gates. Why are the gates open at this time? You got to shut them then. You got to open them then, because order is how God operates. How do we practically establish order in our life? Two things, they're in your notes. Here's the first one. You need to develop a plan. Chapter 7 is all about Nehemiah developing that plan. I don't see where Nehemiah had a visitation from an angel. I don't see where Nehemiah heard God's voice from a burning bush. I don't see any of that. I see a man who recognizes the responsibility that God has given him, not just in building the walls of the city, but now making sure that everything inside is taken care of correctly. It's a picture of our heart. And he developed a plan. Don't complain about your relationships being terrible if you have not developed a plan of how you are going to improve your relationship, and not focusing on the other person, but on you. It's a stark reality. Man, if my wife would just get her stuff together, because let me tell you, oh, the ways that I don't love you. Let me write that out real quick. Hold on. Point one, and we can go through, and point 79. Here we go, baby. See, if you fix these things, we got no problem. Let me tell you, your plan is wrong, because your plan is focused on you. No, it's not. It's all about the other person. If your plan is all about the other person, it's all about you. And when your plan is all about you, okay, I need to do this. Oh, Lord, I need to fix this in my life. There's some things that I'm letting in. Whoo, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger. I need to close the doors on that. There's some things I need to open up. I need to open up. Can I just tell you? Develop a plan. Don't complain about finances if you're unwilling to make a budget. You can't, God, miraculously show up. No. No, we have to recognize that our life, there are responsibilities that we have. God is not responsible for the governing of your life. He'll tell you how it needs to be done and what needs to be done, but you're going to have to be the one who actually goes out and does that. Does this make sense, guys? I mean, he clearly called Nehemiah to the city. He clearly put it on Nehemiah's heart to rebuild the walls, but it was Nehemiah who had to gather everybody together and get it done. You've got to develop a plan, but here's the second thing you need to develop. A team, because your life is more than you. And here's the wild thing. When you begin to develop other people, and let me tell you, a team, not from the perspective of you can help me, and you can help me, and you can help me, and you can help me, everybody come and help me. No, that's not right, because guess who it's all focused on now? Me. But when I seek out people, hey, there's something on, let me help you. Let me help you grow. Let me help you go. And you begin to develop the people around you to fulfill the potential in their life so that their life can become a sacred space with God at the center, with his protection and his provision, and them walking out the promises because you're helping develop them. You end up yourself being developed because you're going to allow others to do the same thing because it's what you're doing. It's the principle of the spiritual mirror. I can't tell if there's junk on my face, and yet it's the closest thing to me. I mean, I could have a big grease mark on my nose. I could have something hanging out of my nose. You ever had that? And then you go to the restroom, and you go, like, you realize when you look in the mirror, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. Well, maybe you were lucky enough to have somebody go, That's so embarrassing, isn't it? And yet relieving at the same time because somebody loved you enough to say, hey, you might not see this. Who are the people in your life that you're developing? And who are the people in your life that you are allowing to speak to you? So you got to establish order. And this is what I've found. When you establish order, when you develop a plan, when you develop people, it really becomes not about you. I just wrote this, self-development is a byproduct of developing a plan and developing other people. One of the interesting leadership techniques that is pervasive, and I think it's also very scriptural, but it's pervasive in the secular world as well, to say, in the position that you have, what would the perfect employee or perfect boss or perfect leader, what would they do in this situation? It's your situation. But now you're looking at it from outside of yourself and you're doing what you know really should be done. Well, that person would come in. I know, and I realize I'm in that position, but if somebody who was the best leader in the world or the most capable person, and if they came in, they'd probably do, and then you list these things off. Mm-hmm. They'd talk to this person about that because that's just not right. They'd deal with this and then because that's got to get fixed. And when we make our lives about ourselves, we miss the purpose and plan of God. Establish order. Here's the second thing that I want you to get. Preparing a place. Establish order. Here's the second thing. Embrace God's word. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to look at the first three verses. So the temple's been built. The city walls have been erected. There's a sacred space for the promise of God to be fulfilled. They want God's protection, God's provision. Let's look at chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Nehemiah 8. Can we put that up? It says, all of the people assembled. So now all of the people have come together. All of the people have assembled with a unified purpose. Everybody say unified purpose. Unified purpose. There's something that happens. Melody spoke about that this morning. There's something that happens when we come together and say, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. There's power there. It's scriptural as well. All the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. And they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law. So Ezra's the scribe. He's a priest. It says to bring out the book of the law of Moses. They got the Bible, people. They got the Bible, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. Look at verse 2. On October 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and the women and all the children old enough to understand. So we got everybody's out there. Everybody's out there. You got that? So they're all assembled together. Ezra the priest is there. They've got the Bible, and they're all standing there. Look at verse 3. It says, he faced the square just inside the water gate, and from early morning until noon, and read aloud. Well, time out. They took mama, daddy, baby, little kids, teenagers, old people, and they stood from early morning. Y'all tell me, what is early morning? What time? Somebody said 5 a.m. That's really early. I like you. I'm a morning person, but 4 a.m. I think it was probably an agricultural society, so I think maybe the sun had come up. Let's just be gracious and say that it was 6 a.m., maybe even 7 a.m. They were in church standing with mamas holding babies, with little kids running around, with old people standing up from early morning until noon. That's a long church service, isn't it? And they read aloud to everyone who could understand. And all the people listened closely to the book of the law. Here's what I want you to get. If you're going to prepare a place for God to move, you have to embrace God's word. You have to embrace God's word. And the reality is it can be sometimes difficult to understand God's word. Have y'all ever experienced that? Come on. You can look, one of two things happen when you read the Bible. You read it and you go, well, that was interesting, but it really wasn't. You got nothing out of it. You ever experienced that before? I have. But there are those moments, there are those times where you read something, you hear something, and it jumps off the page. Boom, it comes alive to you. I don't ever experience that. Let me just tell you this. When you begin to value God's word, when you begin to embrace God's word, you'll be willing to stand for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, my math is right. 6 hours. 6 hours. Most likely it's about 6 hours that they're standing listening to God's word. Why? Because they valued it. And let me tell you, when you value God's word and you are willing to go, Lord, I didn't get anything today. Lord, I read 5 chapters and I got diddly nothing. But let me tell you, you reading 5 chapters may at the most take you 30 minutes. It's probably going to take you more like 10 if you time it. That's all right. Keep going. Keep waiting. Let me tell you, something happens when you begin to establish order in your life and you embrace God's word in your life and you are daily making it a discipline. Because I'm just telling you, if you want to grow in your walk with God, you begin to write out a plan. Here's my plan. All right. Just like Nehemiah said, all right, we're going to set up the doors. All right, we're going to get some things governed correctly. All right, we're going to shut the doors now. When you begin to mark it out and you put in your life, all right, number one, I'm going to seek God. And you start developing that plan. Number two, that means I'm going to read the Bible. Number three, I'm gonna worship God. I'll put on some music. I might even sing poorly, but it's all right. I'm gonna try singing. And I feel your pain. I know what that's like. And something happens. If you want to see the place of protection, provision, the promise of God in your life, you have to establish order. You have to embrace God's word. And let me tell you, it may be a discipline. You may have to stand from early morning until noon. I've never had to do that. But there have been days and weeks and honestly, even times, months on end where I'm going, okay, God, I need something from you. And I'm studying and I'm learning. And in a moment, though, it can be like a drive for a whole season. And then, bam, something happens and God shows up. Here's my point. Don't give up on embracing God's word just because you read the Bible once, just because you read it and you didn't get anything out of it, just because you read it and you thought it was boring or didn't make sense or you didn't understand it. Let me tell you, God will meet you. In fact, Nehemiah 8:8 says, they read from the book of the law of God, and now we're talking about the priests and leaders. They clearly explain the meaning of what was being read. If you don't understand it, ask somebody. Get in a small group. Log online. Get on our website. Contact us. Facebook somebody. Get with a friend who can help you to understand God's word, because when you get God's word in your life, it will transform your life. And the greatest discipline you'll ever have really is two things. First, reading scripture, and secondly, and most importantly, I think, is memorizing scripture, because when you get it in your heart, it transforms who you are. And the space that you used to live in now becomes a sacred space, and it's a place of promise, it's a place of protection, it's a place of provision, because you've written it out. Man, I'm gonna seek God, I'm gonna read the Bible, I'm gonna worship him, and then you do it. Because you embrace God's word. And here's the thing, sometimes it can be pretty heavy when you get God's word. Like you read it and you're like, you read something and like, and then they all died. I don't know exactly where that is in scripture, but there are times when God's word can be really heavy. And in fact, in this situation, when they read the book of the law, the book was read to them, they realized how far away they were from the place that God had for them. And that came across as a big heavy to them. They're like, oh. And in fact, this is what we see in Nehemiah 8:9. You can put that up on the screen. They're so moved that Ezra, the priest, has to get up and he says, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this. Because they're crying. For today's a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. It was such a heavy. They realized, oh my gosh, I read the Bible. They hear the Bible read and they're like, we're so far from where we need to be. And then it's like, oh, I can't believe I'm so. And then there's this whole heavy, I would imagine, self-deprecating, like, oh my goodness, we're so messed up. Have you ever felt like that? Yes. And I love this because this is what he says in verse 10. Here's what he says. This is the priest. He says, and Nehemiah continued. I love this. I love it. I love it. Go and celebrate. Everybody say celebrate. Celebrate with feasts of rich foods. Everybody say feasts of rich foods. they're crying. Oh my gosh, we're so messed up. We're so far from where God had. You told us to come. Like, we want to hear God's word, but now I realize how messed up I am. And he says, don't beat yourself up. Don't weep, don't cry. Instead, you need to celebrate. Go have a feast with rich food and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad. Everybody read this next part with me. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So here's the third thing I want you to get. Man, if you're gonna prepare a place for God to move, Here it is, and y'all can write this down because I want to leave this up for just a minute. So don't put the point up on the screen just yet because I want you to get it because you can hear it because it's really simple. If we want to prepare a place for God to move in our life, establish order, embrace God's word, here's the third one. Plan to party. Everybody say party. Because serving God should be fun. All throughout the Old Testament, we see that there are major feasts throughout the year that everyone celebrates. There's not major fasts that everyone celebrates. There's major feasts. Why? Because God's heart for us is for us to live by his spirit. And his spirit is first love. The fruit of the spirit. This is Galatians 5. This is scripture. Love. The second one, do you know what it is? Joy. It's joy. God's heart for us is to party. That's why when God's word, they hear it and they go, oh my gosh, I'm so messed up. And they're sad. They're weeping. He says, no. Stop. You need to go and celebrate. What does he tell them? Go have a party. Let me just say that I love church. I love Sundays. I love the church is not a service and it's not a building. It's people. I mean, I love people, and I hate it when people, like it gets so heavy that it's miserable. It's not fun. You ever been in a service where it's just so heavy that it's not, it's just, maybe I'm the only one, like, the worship, like, moves into a minor key, like, real sad, and then we don't do it here. We haven't, like, years ago, I'd be like, no more minor keys, and stop beating ourselves up. Like, come on, like, we can celebrate. Why? Because we know what God has for us. Our heart's been transformed. We are his temple. He lives in us. And our life is sacred space. Embrace God. Listen to me. Embrace God's word. Establish order. Plan to party. Here's the fourth thing. It's so good. You're going to have to prepare to get real. Prepare to get real. You see, on October 8th, they all came and they listened to God's word. And for the first time, most of them, they'd never heard. From the first time they're hearing this, they're like, oh my gosh, we're so far from God. Ah! And they start to cry. And Ezra goes, whoa, time out. Hold on. It's the pastor. He's like, nobody cry. We need to celebrate because God's got an amazing place for us. And they're all celebratory. 3 weeks later, they come back. And let's read what happens in Nehemiah 1, chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. It says, on October 31st, the people assembled again. And this time, everybody say, this time. This time. This time, they fasted, they dressed in burlap, and they sprinkled dust on their heads. This time. There are moments where God will move on us, and we've, you know, it's so easy to go heavy, but there are those moments, I'm sure they're coming, man, that priest is going to have a word, oh, Ezra's going to say something, we're going to get to have another feast, we're going to get to go out and party, right? And they come back, and this time, they're called to fast, they dressed in burlap, sprinkled dust on their heads, look at verse 2, and it says, those of Israelite descent separated themselves from all foreigners. So this isn't an expose on immigration. In fact, Israel's immigration at that time was anybody could be a part of the nation of Israel, but they had to just trust that the God of Israel, the one true God, was their God, and they could surrender their heart and life to them. But there were people living among them that rejected that completely. And they're saying, hey, you know what? Separate yourselves from the people that don't even believe, because right now it was a this time moment. They lived among them, but they're like, this is a time where we as believers are coming together to seek God. As they can look at this, as they confessed their own sins. Everybody say, confess their own sins. You ready? Confess their own sins and the sins of their ancestors. Wow. It just got real. If I said, listen, next week, you don't want to miss it. Next week's service is going to be so amazing. We're all going to come together. We're going to stand. We're going to worship. And then at the end of that, we are all very loud voices, all going to confess our worst sins, our deepest, darkest secrets out loud so that all can hear. And not only that, let's Let's confess the sins of our ancestors, our mother, our father, our aunts and uncles, our grandparents. Oh, yes, I remember good old granddad when he... Would you come to that service? Even I wouldn't come to that service. I'd be like, oh, I don't think so. But can I tell you, when you have a heart for God to have all of you, that your life becomes like the city walls, like this sacred space, that you recognize it's a place of order. It's a place where God's word reigns supreme. It's a place that's fun. But you better get ready to get real. You know, the Bible's very clear. It says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But James 5:16 also says, that was 1 John 1:9. James 5:16 says, if we confess our sins confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. Are you willing to get real with people? Who knows your junk? Confess your sin to God for forgiveness. But if you want healing, confess your sin to some people that you know, that you love, that you trust. Let me just put you at ease. We're not going to do that next Sunday. We're not going to all stand up and confess our sins loudly, but I will always encourage you to get into a small group, to get plugged in with some people that you can develop a deep relationship so that you can be transparent in what's going on inside of you, so that you can live in the sacred, holy place that God has for you. And it's the last thing as we wrap up. Here it is. Make the commitment. You want to see God move? Make the commitment. Nehemiah 9:38 says this, the people responded in view of all of this. We're making a solemn promise and we're putting it in writing. Look at this. On the sealed, can we put that up? Nehemiah chapter 9. On the sealed document are the names of our leaders. I'll just read it from here. Are the names of our leaders and Levites and priests. Look at this. Nehemiah 10:29, they joined their leaders and they bound themselves with an oath. They bound themselves with an oath. They swore a curse on themselves that they failed to obey the law of God as issued by his servant Moses. They solemnly promised to carefully follow all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord. I pray that you surrender your heart, your life to Christ, but that your life becomes sacred space. That those walls that surround your life are all the way out to the edge of all of you. And everything inside is a sacred place where God's promise is being fulfilled, where you're under his protection and his provision. Walk in order. Embrace God's word. Don't live so heavy. Plan to party. But you also realize there's moments where you're gotta get real. But at the end of the day, it's all made by you making that commitment. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here today and you know that this message is for you. That you just sense that God's knocking on the door of your heart. And my heart and prayer for you is that you recognize that God knows you and he loves you. And today, I just get to be his spokesperson. I get to be like the priest in the story that stood up and read God's word, and it pierced their heart. And maybe you're here today and this message pierced your heart, and that you know that God's calling your life to be his sacred space. Here's the beautiful thing about that. When your life is his sacred space, you're the one who reaps the benefit because you get to live a God adventure for all of your existence. I'm sure many of you, me included, know what it's like to live a life that's just for you. And that selfishness leaves an unbelievable void. But when you surrender your life to Christ, you say, God, I'm yours. He says this, I know the plans I have for you. They're not for calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and to give you hope. And you can know that wherever you are, when your life is sacred space, you can plan on God's fulfillment, marking everything you do. everything you think in every moment of your life. Maybe you're here today and you know that God's calling you to build your life on His Word. And I just really feel like the word for this service is that there are some of you here, you need to embrace God's Word. You need to embrace God's Word. And I'm just gonna challenge you that you sit down and you make out a plan, that you make out a reading plan, that you say, I'm gonna read this, I'm gonna seek God. And I'm just telling you that there are some of you here, you need to embrace God's Word. Nobody's looking around and you say, Pastor, that's me. I know that I need to embrace God. That's you, just raise your hand and say, I know that this message for them embracing God's Word was me. There's hands all over. Come on, raise them high. Don't be ashamed. I know I need to get in God's Word. I need to read it. I'm telling you, God will speak to you. Don't give up. You may have to stand from early morning to noon, but God will meet you. You can put them down. And then some of you are here and God is speaking to you right now. And He's saying to you, come to me. If you're here and you just know that you're far from God, you're far from God. Today, He's very near to you and He's calling you to Him. If you're far from God and you know that He's calling you to Him and you want to answer that, I won't embarrass you. But if that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm far from God and I want to get close. Thank you. Thank you back here in the back. Thank you. I see you. We're just all going to pray, all of us right now. Let's just pray together. Say, dear God, I want to be near you. I turn from myself. I turn from my sin. I turn to you. I invite you in. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's awesome. Now let me tell you, we exist to reach people and to build lives, and I pray that that happened for you today. I say it all the time, but it's so true. I love being your pastor. I love it. And I know this, the best is yet to come. Love y'all. Pastor Tom.